Welcome to Innovating Leadership, Co-Creating Our Future, where we explore the evolving landscape of leadership and the bold ideas shaping tomorrow's world. Your hosts today are me, Maureen Metcalf, founder and CEO of the Innovative Leadership Institute, and George Limbert, who's held multiple C-level roles in construction and hospitality. In this episode, we're honored to feature Bettina Stix, Global Director of Amazon Community Impact. Bettina shares how Amazon is applying its logistics expertise to uplift vulnerable populations and build long-term resilience. Following our conversation with Bettina, we take you inside a special fireside chat at the San Francisco Marin Food Bank, where Bettina is joined by Andrea Fava, Amazon's Vice President of Public Policy. Bettina and Andrea show us what it means to lead with heart and purpose in a rapidly changing world. Welcome, Bettina.
Thank you, Maureen.
Your Amazon journey spans almost 30 years, and you've been interested in disaster work for a big portion of that. As George, our colleague, would say, you have the best job at Amazon.
I do.
You've got all of the resources of one of the world's largest companies at your disposal to help people in their most challenging times.
Yeah, I actually like to steal the expression of I stood on the shoulders of giants from a former colleague of mine who started our Fresh program, and that launched within 3 months. She gave a presentation and said, like, how could this all happen? How could we launch in 3 months? And then she showed a slide of lots of work badges that people who were not on her team who have helped launch that program because they built the foundation for that. And she said, like, because we stood on the shoulders of giants. And this is exactly how our disaster relief program works and also kind of how I got to involved in this. I got a call from two software engineers at Amazon in 2004 on December 26. That was the day a tsunami rippled through the Indian Ocean, killed 250,000 people. One of the biggest disasters of that decade. They called me and they said, we just used some defunct technology at Amazon, revived it, and turned it into a donation button on our gateway page. This was before we had mobile, you know, like we're just talking Amazon gateway page on your laptop, desktop. They called me because I was the manager in charge of our international websites. And they said, can you help us bring this to our international websites? I assembled quickly a team, a couple of people that could help transform these odd old technology to work on international websites. We put up the buttons. It took us about 4 days until the last country launched. I think France was last. First UK, then DE, then Japan, then France. We collected $15 million total for the Red Cross on behalf of our customers, which was huge. Back then, it's still a lot of money for a donation campaign. I reflected upon this. Some people told me, you look the happiest you were ever. And I slept 3 hours a night or something like that. There was a lot of camaraderie, obviously, when we did all of this. But it also taught me this lesson that, A, we're a company of very, very passionate people who love to problem solve for their communities. And it stayed with me. Throughout my then coming career, I spent another 8.5 years at Prime where I got to know how really, if you look through the lens of a Prime customer, anything you have at Amazon makes sense in some way to have some extra benefit for Prime members. So it was my job really to go around and ask businesses, how do we use Prime in your business? What can you give Prime members, right? It's an attitude of really kind of seeing patterns, of just working through, understanding business models, understanding why our operations exist, how our operations work, et cetera, et cetera. So in 2015, at that point, I was sort of like a little bit in a personal crisis. My sister was terminally ill, and I went on a leadership retreat that was called Lead Like a River. Fortunately, it's on pause, but it's the best thing I've ever did for myself. It helped me get centered. It helped me understand what I am good at. And it helped me see what I did back then in 2004 was something that showed how I can help our communities best. And I can help communities around the world best by helping to see what Amazon is good at, inspiring everybody else to rally around the cause and make it happen. And so Disaster Relief was born in 2017. It was also a year where we had a lot of natural disasters happen around the world. 3 hurricanes in the US, a earthquake in Mexico, and an earthquake at the end of the year in Indonesia. And in all of those moments, we were able to just like try out what we had conceived as could be possible. We send truckloads of relief items to George Brown Convention Center in the middle of Houston. We flew a plane first to Puerto Rico and then another to the U.S. Virgin Islands as they were recovering from Maria and Irma. And we again sent trucks in our first Mexican disaster, where lots of our employees in Mexico City helped unpack and distribute. All in 1 year. I thought like we would send maybe an airplane in 3 years, and it's just happened because the moment such devastating disasters happen is really something where we come together and help with what we're good at Amazon.
As you said yesterday in the fireside chat, you take all that is Amazon and you bring it to an issue, a disaster, a problem, a community problem. Mm-hmm. That just felt so impactful. You must wake up every morning excited to go to work because you're going to solve the world's problems.
Well, I am not solving the world's problems. I think none of us can do this alone. You know, the beauty is really that you can wake up in the morning and you can build on what you've learned. You can rely on the people around you to make it happen. And there is nothing bigger and better than sort of the human potential to really think of what is that sliver of the bigger problem that I am uniquely able to solve? How can I put everything that I am good at, that I can influence, that others are good at, to use for our communities? It's just another form of customer obsession and innovation.
And you started at Amazon as a software engineer.
I started as an editor, which required you to be a little bit technical. In 1998, I don't even know, software engineer was a job description that was widely known. We just all got together and we would figure out how to build a website from which customers can shop with content. So I would never build myself the technology around it, but I had to use as a content creator. How do I feature Harry Potter on the website? How do I commit this to code? You know, those were all things I've never gone to school for.
And now you're moving mountains.
Packages and relief items since 2017, actually 26 million relief items.
What lessons can leaders take, people around the world, what can they take away from Amazon's approach to build resilient, long-term relationships that help communities?
I want every leader who has a sliver of influence in terms of their business, whatever your business may be. You guys' business is amplifying voices and podcasts. And thank you for having me, because that's what you can do as leaders. You can amplify stories like this. But any business can make a difference. We have so many small sellers and sellers around the world who, when we talk to them about what we do for disaster relief, they want to participate. I once spoke to a group of outdoor sellers that were in town for our category teams. And we showed them a slide and we said, like, this is what camping looks like. This is what a disaster looks like. And you saw the same items at use. And I said, like, my plea to you is that you offer a percentage of your goods to disaster relief organizations in the community. Anybody, you know, can do something. With some of them, we work to these days. We have solar lights that we hand out during disasters because they help reduce, believe it or not, crime. You know, like when you can light your tent community, you know, say after an earthquake and where everybody tents out in the fray, you know, you see less crime because pathways can be secured, etc.
So just reemphasizing, the community helps solve the community problems. And everybody, no matter how small, can be part of the solution.
Yeah. You'd be amazed if you think about how you can help. You know, sometimes you can just help by having a piece of information. Communication is crucial. there was an earthquake in Albania at one point. We spoke to the International Red Cross, the Federation, and asked them, you know, what do you know about this earthquake? Can we help? And they said, we are not involved at the moment. Oh, no, thank you, not yet. This was really at times when we were just about to begin of doing our disaster relief work. So our big partners didn't have anything for us to get involved with. We offered our help. Then a fulfillment center employee who worked actually in our fulfillment centers in Germany, I believe, but was from Albania originally, reached out and said, my community is affected. How can I help? And we said, tell us who is helping and tell us who is helping well and how can we help them? And 3 days later, we had trucks waiting in Bari to take the ferry to Albania to deliver relief items, blankets, and tents to help those that were just like ripped off their homes.
So just one small voice.
Yes. Big impact.
Amazing.
Yep.
So you leverage your partnership with customers. You leverage your fulfillment centers.
Mm-hmm.
You leverage your logistics expertise.
Mm-hmm.
You leverage employees' passion for their communities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What have I missed?
Personal commitment. You know, the innovative spirit that lives through all of this. So many people, technology. Have we talked about technology yet?
Not much. You use a lot of technology in disaster relief, don't you?
We do. We started really grasping our understanding around this. So we have experimented. One of my colleagues goes into the disaster areas with a crew of highly trained volunteers, very self-sufficient, driving vehicles that are made for disaster situations with equipment. And then he tries and tests out how our technology can help those communities and then build kits from that that are really super easy for anybody to use, open, flap open, take out the cables, the radio transmitters, the little receiver and Eero devices, set up your own little edge network connected to a power bank that we give you, start connecting to your knowledge in the cloud and really trying to figure out life-saving missions like providing drone imagery to map out search and rescue missions or helping firefighters see unwanted objects like private drones fly over wildfires and endangering the operations, or just helping a food bank like we did in Hurricane Helene have power and connectivity so that they can continue their operations after their building was swept away to help those that are affected and get supplies in there fast.
Amazing. Doing good with what you do best.
Right.
We're going to wrap here and move into the recording from the fireside chat at the Marin Food Bank. Thank you, Bettina.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for letting me talk about my passion project.
Thank you for sharing your passion project and impacting the lives of millions of people at the worst times.
We never hope for disasters, but when they happen, we're there.
Thank you all for listening to Bettina. Now we will go to the fireside chat that Maureen hosted with Bettina and Andrea. Please enjoy.
So let's first introduce our esteemed panel. Andrea Fava is the Vice President of U.S. Policy. In her role, she leads state and local public policy across the United States. Her team also leads Amazon's community engagement here in San Francisco, across California, and other locations in the U.S. Bettina Stix is the Global Director for Amazon Community Impact. Bettina founded Amazon's Disaster Relief Program in 2017 and now leads Amazon's volunteering, disaster relief, food security, and education impact programs. And today we're going to hear how Amazon is applying its core strengths to tackle community challenges in innovative ways and improve our communities. Okay, so Bettina, my first question is a relatively basic one. Most of us think of Amazon as delivering all of the stuff we need in our lives, but that's on the business side. We're here to talk about community impact, and specifically, we're in this beautiful food bank. What are we doing here today?
Yeah, and I love talking about this program. And the partnership that we have with the operations here, one of our oldest partners from 2020, when we silently started to think, what if we use what Amazon is really good at in the supply chain of things, delivering and distributing items? All of you, hopefully, have ordered at Amazon and know what it is like to receive a package. No, put yourself into the shoes of somebody who is in dire need of food and can now get that once a week, beautifully packed package of fresh food items, nutritious items to their doorstep without having to worry about, is a pantry open where I can go? Do I have a car to get there? Who is looking after my children or after my elderly relative? So that is what we've started building out. Our food security program basically has sort of like 2 to 3 components, if you will. The first one is we help food banks get what you see here onto their shelves. We do this with 32-foot trailers, with sprinter vans. We help them pick up donations and items that they procure, but that are expensive to get into a big fulfillment center like this one. Second, we do home delivery. This is what we're really proud to help with. It helps bring the food directly from a regional food bank like this here to the doorsteps of our neighbors. And the third one is with the expansion that Amazon also does in the rural area, we're now able to support schools in rural areas more and more to deliver for in school meal programs when it's not in session, say during summer break, so that children stay fed, even if they're far away from a food bank that they can reach.
I understand that you have breaking news to share with everyone today about Amazon's home delivery.
Yeah. So the first announcement, this is the one that gives me goosebumps, is that we have delivered since the pandemic 60 million meals through our program, mainly in the U.S., but starting also in the U.K. and during the pandemic worldwide. That means 200,000 households each week have a package of food at their doorsteps. So that makes me just immensely proud. Thank you for the teams. Thank you for our partners to do that. The second announcement is something that we have been seeking to do for a while now. We have called all of our food bank partners and extended our commitment through 2028. And we're doing this because we want the food banks to invest in these programs. We want them to be able to continue doing this without wondering if it goes away one day. We know how many families rely on this, and we could find out, maybe a better word, through a study we did together with Feeding America. That's the U.S. Association of many food banks here in the U.S., that families who are served through the home delivery program, either ours or the ones that food bank run by themselves, families save on average $100 a month when they get it delivered to their homes. Because it is expensive to show up to a place where you may not have the transportation, you need to find childcare, you know, you forego maybe some hours of work. It is expensive to get free food. And so we want to take that that cost from the families away that already struggle to get food on their table.
So we talk a bit about the way Amazon's delivering for organizations and families in San Francisco. What's your approach to local community engagement? No community is the same, and you are brilliant at tailoring your approach to the needs of the specific community.
Yeah, you know, our North Star is really simple. We want to be the most trusted corporate partner in those communities that we call home. And I think the point you made, Maureen, about, you know, no two communities are the same, right? It's so important, and we take that to heart, and we make sure that the way that we engage is really tailored to each community. And we do that by listening first. you know, we meet with the nonprofits that are serving individual communities. We meet with business associations, with civic leaders, with neighborhood groups. And we really determine, you know, what that community looks like and what the needs are before we decide to act. You know, in 2024 alone, we did more than 7,000 of those meetings, and we held more than 1,500 community events. We take this seriously, and we do it year over year because communities change, and we need our programs to be flexible and to adapt. And so we develop our partnerships, you know, based on that feedback. And maybe I can talk just a little bit about, you know, what that looks like here in San Francisco to give you a flavor. One of the things we focus on here in San Francisco is food insecurity. And Bettina talked a little bit about the work that we're doing here at the food bank in partnership here that's so important. We also partner with the San Francisco Meals on Wheels. And, you know, in speaking with them, one of the things we learned is that it was a priority for them to electrify their delivery fleet. And we provided a 3-year grant to allow them to achieve that goal. Another priority specific to here in San Francisco is the focus on downtown revitalization, especially since the pandemic. And you heard the mayor talk about his commitment to work in this area. Just yesterday, I got to walk around downtown with a few of the organizations that are doing that good work to make sure that our sidewalks and neighborhoods are clean, are safe. They have vibrant activations to keep people downtown after work and bring them in on the weekends. And it was really cool to see some of the partnerships that we've supported and see some of those results in action. And, you know, we do other work in San Francisco, but I also just want to pivot and sort of talk about how we really do work backwards from communities. So, you know, our headquarters here in the U.S. is in the Puget Sound region in Arlington, Virginia. And there, housing affordability has been a priority. In 2021, we launched the Amazon Housing Fund. We made a $2 billion commitment to build 20,000 affordable housing units. And, you know, that's something that we did really working backwards from those communities. Arlington, Virginia is where I work and call home, and just a few blocks from our office there, we have a really great project. You know, we've taken 500 apartment units that were market priced, converted them into affordable housing, and we now have, you know, working families that have housing that's accessible for them there. We've got projects like that across our headquarters region. And so one of the things I just love about, you know, getting to work on these community engagement projects in Amazon is just the diversity of ways that we give back to the community and really try to figure out like how we can connect.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and if you think about it, our employees are also neighbors and they help support the communities. So just here in California, everybody know, even if you're not from California, if you're from the US or anywhere else in the world, you have seen the pictures of the wildfires that ravaged through Los Angeles at the beginning of the year. We had 8,000 volunteers help there, help the communities, ongoing help with the communities and the organizations there.
Bettina, so would you tell us, Amazon's been involved in disaster relief work for a number of years. Can you tell us how you got involved and a little bit more about what the scale and scope of that work looks like?
Yeah, I'm happy to. By now, you may know that I love to put everything that Amazon is good at to good use. So in 2017, we started to get serious about helping communities in disasters. The idea was actually born in 2004 when two software developers called me when I was in charge of our international websites and asked me if I could help put a donation button on the websites in the UK, Germany, France, and Japan. And I said, of course. Those two software engineers came from Sri Lanka. And if you know what happened in 2004, a deadly tsunami wave rippled through the Indian Ocean, killing 250,000 people. I worked tirelessly with a group of people to do the impossible. Donation buttons weren't the norm back then. We figured out how to get them on the websites. And by the end of the campaign, Amazon customers around the world had donated $15 million to their Red Cross. You know, it made me think, like, look at that. I'm standing on the shoulders of a giant. There's so much more we can do. And so today, what we do in disaster relief goes a lot further. We have 15 locations of our fulfillment centers around the world. We call them disaster relief hubs, where we pre-position items
4 disaster-prone communities. We have one in Atlanta, we have one in San Bernardino in the U.S., we have one in Mexico, which we just activated for the floods that are happening there. We have in Asia, multiple in India, in Australia, and in Japan, and one in Europe, which also we used already in the floods that happened there in the last couple of years. We have, since 2017, helped in 200 disasters. Over 200 disasters, because just 2 days ago, for the first time, we sent a plane to Alaska to help the evacuees from the 30 villages that were washed away in the outskirts of the typhoon and drowned 30 communities who never know if they can return. We have delivered north of 26 million relief items. We do this because Amazon can deliver globally. We use our trucks, we use our planes, we use our transportation, we use our inventory space, and we use the power of our suppliers to supply communities for free with what they need within hours. That's our commitment to communities around the world. And last, we also started a few years ago to lean more into tech. You can see a little bit of a demonstration of some of our equipment, of how we help first responders respond faster, connect among themselves, restore power, use intelligence that is stored in the cloud to just speed up their firefighting efforts, their search and rescue efforts, or even their food distribution efforts.
So I can't imagine the amount of work that goes into coordinating this disaster relief. You've got government, you've got nonprofits, you've got corporate partners. All of them come together, and Amazon has a basis already ready to go, anticipating these disasters.
Yeah, we work as hard outside of the disasters with our partners as during a disaster. In a disaster, really, coordination happens because you have trust and you know what everybody can do best. But it is years of community and relationship building with our partners. So, for example, the disaster relief hubs, they're stuffed with items from which we know our partners need them. We've heard them. They told us what they need in disasters. And then we used also the data from over the years of what they have asked from us in previous disasters to really pack to standards that they can use. Give you an example. We met with the Red Cross in Atlanta, Georgia, in the summer. They told us how in Hurricane Helene, which ravaged through the U.S. last year, the Red Cross in Georgia had to build up shelters, and she was in charge of the operations in Georgia for the Red Cross. And her shelter manager, procurement manager, she asked, like, did you put all orders in for all of the items you need to stem up a shelter? Do we have microwaves? Do we have printers? Do we have all of this? He says, like, oh, yeah. I just called Amazon. They're sending us our pallets that we have stored in our warehouse in Atlanta. Check mark. One check mark. And not hours and weeks of procuring to help their communities. Then we have Andrea's team, who helps us in situations where we don't have partners yet, because they have deep, deep, deep contacts to communities all over the U.S. and internationally. They're oftentimes the first ones that hear from local communities what is needed, and oftentimes even play our incident commanders and go in and help facilitate the donations.
It really is when a disaster strikes. I mean, it's an opportunity to bring all the parts of Amazon together to do what's right and help to serve the community in need. And we really are able to do that.
Yeah,
at
it's
all
an amazing partnership.
Yeah.
And hopefully we don't have that many disasters, and yet Amazon is an ongoing partner beyond disaster relief, with their presence transforming communities by their facilities. So let's talk a little bit about how Amazon changes communities when you locate there.
Yeah. You know, we know that when we invest, that it's not just our direct employees who benefit, we uplift entire communities. Just this week, a new study was released by Oxford Economics, and it really explores the socioeconomic impacts in those communities where Amazon has opened a fulfillment center or expanded a fulfillment center. That study is focused in particular on counties here across the United States, and they've looked at data over 5 years. The results are really encouraging. They show that in these places where fulfillment centers have opened, businesses have formed. So in each of these counties, approximately 600 new businesses are there. Wages have increased. Unemployment has decreased. There's also a decrease in reliance on social benefits like Medicaid. So it's really, as I mentioned before, the results are really encouraging. We've been working on this, 4 years. And we see that our communities are thriving, not just here in the U.S., but internationally. You know, a similar independent research study was done in Europe that looked at communities where we've invested a fulfillment center there. And that study found that, over 80% of residents in the community have found that the community is having a positive impact since Amazon invested there. You know, there's a lot of data that we can share, but I think that the takeaway is that, we've been investing in communities for more than 30 years, and we work really hard to make sure that those investments have a positive impact, not just for our employees, but the communities as a whole.
And Andrea, as we were getting ready, you and I shared stories about family members who have benefited from working for Amazon. So would you share just a little bit about that as we're wrapping up?
Yeah, already we're sort of breaking it down to say, how communities are, affected in the ways that we just described. But here in the U.S., I am from Pennsylvania, and my family lives in a rural area where we have a number of fulfillment centers. And, I have seen, family members and friends who have found jobs and employment and also workforce development opportunities through Amazon. And it's really in seeing that and their own personal ability to thrive in different ways, makes me very proud to have the opportunity to work in Amazon.
And I would say the same thing. I have a stepdaughter who's making a living wage because she's working at Amazon, and she wasn't before. So it is heartening to see the impact that Amazon's making in your normal business operations. So thank you, everyone, for the work you're doing, our Amazon partners. Thank you, everyone, for being here, and especially thank you to our Amazon partners.
Hi there, this is Morgan James. Every album represents a step in an artist's journey. Hello, music lovers. I'm inviting you to listen to Music Journeys with Mike Foley. Mike mixes music and conversation with artists to share what informed and inspired their latest project, how the love of music began, what music means to them, and so much more. We've chatted about three of my projects, the most recent being Soul Remains the Same, a soul album of songs you would never expect. You can always expect the perfect combination of music and stories on Music Journeys. The show airs Saturday afternoons at 3:30 on WCBE. Recent episodes are available on the major podcast platforms and the WCBE app. To meet and hear more from all the musicians featured since its start in 2018, including me, to be the first to be featured three times on the show, look for Music Journeys on WCBE's podcast experience at WCBE.com.
Do you love amazing stories? I know I do. I'm Michael Kent, and every week on my show, we examine something from history that's so unbelievable it sounds made up, but is 100% verifiably true. It's a podcast called The Internet Says It's True, and there are hundreds of episodes to choose from. For example, did you know the story of how Leonard Nimoy came up with Live Long and Prosper for Star Trek? Or how Colombia is dealing with a hippo problem that goes back directly to Pablo Escobar? Or one of my favorite stories, a man figured out that a nondescript Winnebago being auctioned online was actually an important part of space exploration history. These are all stories from The Internet Says It's True. Listening to a podcast has never been easier. You can listen through any popular podcast app, through the NPR app, or download the fantastic new WCBE app, click the Podcasts tab, and look for The Internet Says It's True with Michael Kent. You'll have so many stories up your sleeve, you'll feel like the smartest person in the room, especially if you're home alone.